It is good to see this number return on tonight. I have to be totally honest, it's very encouraging. And to hear and be a part of the great singing that we just took place and to go to God in prayer, what a blessing it is to be here on tonight. To be able to engage in another opportunity of religious, spiritual instruction to hear what thus saith the Lord. And on tonight, we're going to be looking in the book of Acts, and I know we have been saturating ourselves in this book, and we're going to keep on doing it because it's a great book. And I want us to focus on Acts chapter 9 on tonight, but we're going to be looking and about one or two verses from chapter 1 through chapter 9. But I want us to read very swiftly Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through verse number 43. Acts 9, 36 through verse 43. Isn't it encouraging to see how many we had this morning? 96. It's encouraging. Y'all keep on inviting, keep on encouraging one another, keep on helping one another in the most holy faith, Jude 20. It's just a blessing to be able to know that we are all in this together. Acts 9, verse 36 through 43. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. And Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out, knelt down, and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Talitha, or Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. It's a very interesting passage of scripture. And before we get into this, I want us to notice some things concerning the book of Acts from this vantage point. The vantage point I want us to consider, especially in Acts chapter 9, you see great camaraderie, great fellowship. This is a very emotional text. You know, you think about the book of Acts, and sometimes, especially in the Lord's church, and especially among conservative congregations, sometimes there's not a lot of emotion. But friends, you cannot be a Christian and not be emotional. Why? Because the Bible is all about the different attitudes and phases of life. And here in Acts chapter 9, we're going to see a very emotional episode going on here. But friends, this is nothing new, because when you consider Acts chapter 1 and verse number 15, we're just going to take a quick perusal through some of the things in the first nine chapters. You see in verse number 15, the 120 with the 12 were in the upper room. You know, as I was thinking about that, Brother Chad, I was thinking about what a powerful event that they were waiting for. I mean, they were waiting on the Pentecost. They were waiting on power from on high. They were waiting for the church to begin. And so they're all up there and they're having prayer and they're spending time with one another. And what a blessing it is to spend time with each other in Christ. But in chapter 2, I want to make this quick point. In chapter 2 and verse number 47, there you'll see great camaraderie again. God is writing history in this particular verse. We know he's writing history because he said that they were praising God and having favor with all of the people, and the Lord were adding, continually adding. God was writing history there. And you know, when you think of the fellowship that they had, the prayers that they were offering unto God, and remember earlier in the text, they were breaking bread from house to house. The fellowship, the camaraderie. You know, can you imagine the emotions that were going on in their mind, knowing that they have killed the Christ, and now they have been forgiven of that, Brother Benson, and no, we don't have this weight on our shoulders anymore. They're rejoicing with one another. Oh, yes. How about Acts chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, and you find Peter, and remember this lame man. And we see something very interesting in this text. This lame man, of course, he is set at the gate called Beautiful every single day. Can you imagine being set at the gate called Beautiful every single day asking an alms? And here comes Peter, and he's looking at you. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee. Rise up and walk. Can you imagine that day? Life changes for you. No longer do you have to have someone pick you up, Brother Nate, and take you to a gate so you can ask for help every single day. Now you can walk. Now you can leap. And I truly believe that the demonstration of walking and leaping was to demonstrate or to show the power of God. Not necessarily that he was inside of the worship assembly like some false brethren of teaching and they're ripping and running through the aisles. That's foolishness, because notice the next part of that verse, praising the Lord, praising God, meaning that he was given because of what just happened in his life. But then in Acts chapter 4, in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31, you know, things begin to shift a little bit. I mean, here you have Peter. They have to deal with the governmental officials. They have to deal with the Sanhedrin. And he quotes from Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? And they plot vain things, wicked things. You know, you think about the government today, and Evelyn was telling me about something just today. They were saying, now that Trump has been elected, and she said, this woman said, y'all need to hurry up and go get your abortions. Isn't that foolish? Y'all just go like this. That's foolish. That should never come out of anybody's mouth. You hurry up and go get your abortion. Now that Trump is in, you won't be able to get them. As if we're talking about go get the latest vehicle. No, you're talking about killing innocent life. I mean, if the election of a man is going to stop those things, is going to happen, yes, that's what we want. But you see how foolish it is when people plot vain things against the people of God. But then go to chapter 9. This is where we want to be real quick. We're in Joppa. We're on the King's Highway, Palestinian area. Joppa is situated between Caesarea and Gaza. It's about 50 miles in that area. Y'all go with me here. Y'all going to need some of this geography. You know, you think of between Joppa, the distance between Joppa and Lydda is about maybe 8 to 17 miles, not that far. But we're in Joppa, the King's Highway, and we come across a certain disciple named Tabitha. One thing about Joppa was a plot of land that was given to the tribe of Dan. We find that in the book of Joshua, chapter 19, verse 46. We come across this disciple named Tabitha, which the Bible says is translated Dorcas. This was a powerful woman here. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that she was full of good works and charitable deeds. You think about good works, friends. Good works comes from the conscience. Charitable deeds comes from compassion. Good works. Acts coming from the conscience. charitable deeds, acts of compassion. Can you imagine this woman? You think about everything that she was involved in. The impact that she had on people's lives. I mean, she was a person that showed that compassion, that person that got in the people's lives. But what happened? Well, the Bible says that she got sick and she died. Can you imagine? Just let's read this and let's think about this. First of all, she got sick. A woman of charitable deeds and good works. I mean, you can just imagine everybody probably trying to do all that they can to make sure that she don't die. I mean, she's already sick. They're already emotional. They're already in tune with what's going on. And then the worst happens. She dies. I mean, this just wasn't your ordinary person. I mean, this was not a leech. Brother Pope Joy gave me an email the other day to read about leeches. You know, y'all, you have those people that every time they come around, they got their hand out. Y'all know some of those people? You know, the article says, just make sure you're not one of those people. Y'all smile whenever you can. But she wasn't like this. I mean, she was a person of good deeds, of good works and charitable deeds, and she died. And notice what they did. They washed her and laid her in an upper room. But then they knew that Peter was close. I was wondering, how did they know Peter was there? How did they know Peter was in Joppa? Well, you know, fame, good things began to circulate. You know, we think that because we have Twitter and all different types of social media that things get around very quickly. But, you know, things were getting around pretty quickly about what Peter was doing. If you notice in verse number 32 of Acts chapter 9, notice some things about Peter. Now it came to pass as Peter went through the parts of the country that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, and who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Oh, fame started going out about what Peter was doing. You know what Peter was doing, friends? Peter was glorifying God. And really the purpose of miracles, one of them, was to confirm the word. And in confirming the word, God was glorified. You know, when we do good works, it's to glorify God, not ourselves. But they heard about Peter, Brother Pope Joy, and then notice what took place. They sent for Peter. We see this in verse number 32. Now, I put this in my notes. It's amazing that they heard about Peter. They sent for Peter, and then Peter comes. They received Peter. Oh, they heard about Peter. They sent for Peter. They received Peter. And then notice what the text says, friends. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him up to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him crying. Do you think that was an emotional situation? I mean, friends, think about it. This was no ordinary person. This was Dorcas. This was Tabitha. I mean, she was full of good works and charitable deeds. Everybody knew her. She affected people's lives. Y'all could just imagine when Jesus died on the cross and how the people were affected. And all of the good things that he went about doing, they were affected by it, by that situation. They were affected by Dorcas. Notice what the Bible says. They started showing the fruit of her labor. You think about what fruit do we have from our labor? You know, you think about this, and it's amazing that they were weeping. Can you imagine Peter looking at them and saying, what you crying for? And him smiling? I don't think so, friends. In Romans 12 and verse 15, the Bible there says to weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. I believe that this hurt Peter. Peter saw this. But then we notice as these emotions are running high, you know, sometimes our emotions run high for different reasons. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we get very depressed and sad. Sometimes when people are around us have great things going on, there's great joy in their life, maybe the birth of a child, maybe the accomplishment of a job, maybe the purchase of a home or a vehicle, we rejoice with them. But then the opposite takes place, and the next thing you know, we're sad and we're weeping with them. That's biblical, y'all. It's biblical. You know, when you can get to a point, y'all listen to this statement, I'm not taking it back. When you get to the point where you can master that, when you can master seeing that your brother or your sister is hurting and you're able to adjust who you are based upon that. Oh, God weeps with us. God rejoices with us. I think sometimes we can be so conservative that we will not be in tune with people. You cannot be conservative and not be in tune with God and people. You cannot be scriptural and not be in tune with God and people. Here we see something that Peter was sent for. Peter, he came and they received him. But notice what took place here. Peter put them all out. He knelt down and he prayed. Turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." You know, I thought about this and I thought about, you know, Peter is just like his master. I mean, Peter is just like Jesus. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 37, we find the same situation. And remember, in that situation, there was a little girl that had died at the age of 12. Drop down a couple of verses, and we have Peter, James, and John, and they're in there with Jesus. Jesus had put everybody out because they were mocking and laughing at him. What did Jesus say? He said to the little girl, he said, "Talitha kumai," which is translated, "Little girl, get up." And she got up and he gave her his hand and he lifted her up. Hold on, we see the same thing here. You know, the more I thought about this, Brother Rick, I'm saying, Peter's just like his master. You know who we ought to be like? We ought to be just like our master. We ought to be just like Jesus. We ought to be just like Jesus. Peter put them all out, knelt down and prayed and turned to the body. He said, "Tabitha, arise." The first person she sees after being dead is Peter. And notice what he did. Now, I don't know if we just read past this, but Peter was a gentleman. I mean, she had been dead. Everything in her body shut down. This was a miracle, a notable miracle. You think she's going to get up after being dead and go work out? What did Peter do? As a gentleman, he helps her up. You know, being a Christian requires us being gentlemen as men and being courteous as women, helping people up, right? You know, you should never look down at a person. Y'all listen to this. Never look down unless you're looking down to lift someone what? Up. Oh, it's easy to look down at people, but not Peter, not Jesus. As a matter of fact, as Jesus was on the cross, you know what he was doing? He was looking down at people and then looking up. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Oh, God is a good God. Can you imagine all that being in the text? It's all there. It's all in the text. What is God doing in the book of Acts? He's teaching us to get in tune with him, but also be in tune with people. Christianity is all about people. It's not about puppies. It's not about cars. It's not about anything else. It's about people. And you can't love God without loving people, and you can't love people without loving God. But notice, he says in verse number 41, "And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive." I put it in my Bible, proof of God's power, not Peter's. You know, when we're praying for people and helping people through tough situations, or maybe even praying for them because they want to give thanks to God. You know, the more I thought about this, 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first five verses, you know, we ought to be praying for those who are in authority. We ought to be praying for our loved ones. We ought to be praying for all men that we may live a peaceable life. We ought to be praying. Why? If anybody's going to get a prayer through, it's going to be God's people. It's going to be God's people. So he presented her alive. I can just imagine. Think, just go here in the text. They washed her. She's dead. They knew she was dead. Peter puts them all out and he prays. He goes to God and he tells her to get up. She gets up, and the next thing you know, he opens up the door and there are both of them alive. Wow. Y'all put a smile on me. That's good stuff right there. You know what that teaches us? That God has the power to raise even the dead in our lives. What happened? It became known. Why would God use, y'all ready? A nobody like Dorcas. Apparently she wasn't a nobody. She was somebody. Oh no, we don't preach about Dorcas all the time. We preach about Peter and James and John, and preach about Jesus, of course, but Dorcas. You know, I thought about this, and Evelyn told me this because she got it from Mona. So Mona got it from somebody else. So I figured I would use it too. It didn't have a copyright on it, no patent on it. But the question is, would your works that you're doing right now, would people raise you up if you died? There's some people, when they die, it's a good thing. Y'all know it's right. I'm just telling you the truth. Just make sure you're not one of them. There's some people, when they leave the room, it lights up. Boy, it got bright when they left. But not Dorcas. Not Tabitha. When she died, things shut down. But you know what I'm thankful for? That when she died, they didn't lose their mind to the point that they didn't call for Peter. Sometimes when things go awry in our lives, we shut down and we can't think right. But not these individuals. They kept their mind together. Go get Peter. Go get Peter. You know, it's a good lesson for us. When things get tough, keep your mind together. Keep it together. Oh, this is a rich text. Let me let you go. I'm getting too happy. It's time to go drink some eggnog. Yeah. My wife ain't gonna like it, but it's all good. Let's get back to the text. Look at the text, friends. Look at this text. He presented her alive and became known throughout all Joppa, and many believe on the Lord. That's the point. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon the Tanner. It's just something about Joppa. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for Joppa, Cornelius would have to send for Peter somewhere else. You remember when Cornelius had that dream, and he sent some men to Joppa where Peter was. Just something about Joppa. Something about that coastland. It's just something about Joppa. Where's the Joppa in your life? Where's the coastland in your life? If you was to die, would people be trying to grab someone else to get you to raise you up? Or would they be better off with you being dead? I'm thankful that when Jesus died, he was too important to leave in the grave. God has said, no, we got to raise him up. Why? The whole world depends on it. Same with Lydia. Same with Tabitha. Raised her from the dead. And you know what I was thinking? Nothing in the scripture says that she was a person of deep love, of deep loyalty, or of deep legacy. Nothing in the text says that. But the implication is all there. That she was a woman of deep love, deep loyalty, and deep legacy. What about us? Jesus was all of those things. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll give the invitation. Great God and Father, you're so good to us. Your word is so powerful. It teaches us and reminds us that we have to be in contact with you through your word and through prayer and meditation and self-denial and sacrifice, that we may be in tune with man. And Father, sometimes we're just so in tune with ourselves that we can't be in tune with no one else. But Father, we're thankful that you're always in tune with us. As the psalmist says, you even put our tears in a bottle. You know what's going on in our lives. You know our struggles, our hang-ups. And we're so thankful that Jesus was hung up for our hang-ups. We pray to Father that we'll never forget about what he has done for us and that he was so important that you could not leave him in the grave. Thankful for the lesson of Dorcas, Tabitha. She was so important to the people. Her good works and her charitable deeds were so important. Could not leave her in the grave at that time. Help us to live our lives that people may see our good works and glorify you. That if we were to get sick, and possibly even die, that people would rally hoping that we would live, that our good works could continue. But Father, we ask that you be with us as we strive for righteousness in our lives as a congregation. And help us to learn from the book of Acts. We love you, Father, and we sin against you every now and then. For that, we're sorry. But help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his name. Amen. You're not a child of God. We want you to be. We want you to obey the gospel. It's good news. What's holding you back from obeying Jesus Christ? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. But you're just not being buried in water. You're coming in contact by faith with the blood of Christ, which is going to cleanse your heart, your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. God will add you to his Son's church. You have all of your sins washed away. You'll have all spiritual blessings and you'll have a hope of eternal life. But maybe a child of God, and well, if you was to die today, it'd probably be a blessing. Let's not live our lives like that. Let's live our lives in a way that if we were to get sick and die, people would say, oh man, what are we going to do? You can't live your life that way. But it requires us to stand with God as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.